Our tech attorney Rich Honan pays us a visit with some thoughts on headlines from the business world. We talk a lot about the economy. We'll talk about it today. To help us out, to help sort all of this out, we welcome Rich Honan with Phillips Alito LLP, where he is partner in charge of the Albany office. Rich, we haven't seen you in a while. It's wonderful to have you back.
It's always great to be here. How are you?
All's good.
Okay.
All's very nice. So give me a sense of what you make of our current situation. It seems whenever we talk, it's somewhat precarious. Won't it always be precarious?
It will. And one of the things, I think there's a pretty good fix, but you need the right personnel. And so let me ask you a question that's going to sound off topic, but how did your listenership, I'm sure there was a lot about this, but how did your listenership respond to the whole Obama, you know, if you like your plan, you can keep it, period? What was the take on that?
I think you mean of whether it was a lie or not?
Okay, or what it was, yeah.
I think there was, I think basically from the letters and the conversations that we've had with listeners seem to think, many people feel that it was a situation where it was more of the insurance companies and not an understanding or not a lie or a direct misaction by the president or the administration. However, something that wouldn't perhaps be concerned or be construed as a direct lie. But by the way, I'm grossly generalizing.
I'm asking a grossly general question.
There were certainly people who believed that it was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the majority of the people who wrote in and who commented on our coverage and the coverage of the issue, gave that view that it was something that was a misleading from the insurance companies and was not something that was done intentionally as a misleading statement.
All right. And the second and last question on that,
he's an attorney, ladies and gentlemen.
Aside from defending that, was there disappointment?
I think okay. A lot of people were disappointed, although either we had many people who had two views. One was that the ends justify the means. So the fact that the people who did not have health care will be will on the system and we will go through the bumps, that it'll be worth it in the end.
Right.
I think that was
which is why he lied.
Which is an opinion that
I'm completing their theory.
Not even that he lied, but that it's worth the bumps.
It's for
along
the greater
the
good.
Way for the greater
right.
good. And other people
wow.
who called him and directly said, you know, it was bumpy. I got on the system. I'm there, and now I feel better because I'm part of the system.
Okay. And so what made me think about was. I think no matter whether you call it spinning or however you perceive that, I think it wasn't a high point, either in communication or in just having faith in leadership. And I was thinking, you know, Joe wouldn't have done that. Joe Donahue would not have done that. I actually thought that because I agree. I do agree with that analysis because I haven't been in that room, but I've been in 1,000 of those rooms where people are, you know, you have the good policy people saying, well, you know, you're not really going to be able to keep your plan because things are going to change and all this. And then you have the other people, the Rahm Emanuels of the world saying, look, you know, does anybody doubt that the healthcare system is really bad right now? And does anybody doubt that it's going to be a lot better once we get this through? And does anybody doubt that the godless Republicans will do everything they can? And, you know, we have to get there. But it struck me that if it was in a business context, you know, which is what we're talking about, that what you really need to fix things, either whether it's Obamacare or the economy, I realize you need two things. And we talk about it a lot in business. One, you need a leader that people trust, somebody who's ethical and moral and you know, just has a sense of right and wrong and a sense of fairness. And the other is you need really a good sense of management. I'm not even talking leadership. I'm talking true management. You know, how do we deal with the situation? And the good news is you don't necessarily need that in the same person. Yes, the president should be the moral one, but you could also get your management acumen from other people.
Right.
So and I thought, you know, if for example you and I were running things, and you're the moral person here, by the way.
Well, I'm touched. Thank you very much.
I'm the evil management acumen guy. yeah, how if we were running a corporation and by extension the country. How would you deal with really big issues like that, like the economy, with, you know, Obamacare or the economy? And one of the things that we've gotten away from, while I understand you cannot run the country like you run a corporation, I think that's a big misnomer. Everybody says we're gonna right. run. You can't run the country like a business. It's not a business.
We've talked about that. I agree with you entirely.
But I do think that you can use some of the approaches. And one of the big management things that you hear all the time is people saying you don't put people in a position to fail; you put them in a position to succeed. So, putting all those thoughts together, I think if you were in charge and if we were helping, you know, map out, you know, had all your advisors, you know, like you'd have the good ethical Sarah LaDukes and then the evil, you know, Rich Honan and you know and Ray Graffs and those guys, you know, on the other side.
Yes,
I think what we would do is we'd probably say, you know, how would we fix the economy? And what we would say is, first, we would create an environment where people can talk. And this is all position agnostic. In other words, I don't care if the result of this is we're going to raise taxes, and I don't care if the result is going to be we're going to reduce entitlements. I'm saying creating an environment where we can actually have that conversation. And one of them is the thing that you see is you need somebody like you or like somebody to step up and say, you know what, I'm not going to spend this time making speeches about how bad the other guys are. You know, let's dial down the rhetoric and let's focus people in a way that we're only dealing with the one issue. And I think that's how a business would handle it. You know, I think that with the right personnel, I think the economy could be fixed, really. We could be addressed pretty easily. No one's talking about it now because we have Iran and we have immigration and things like that. But when does the next economy battle come up? Is it 4 weeks? How far are we away?
I thought it was February. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that there's the debt ceiling, but then there's also, you know, the budget thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, so right. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. And so
December.
Yeah. And you know, if we were running a company, we would say, look, we are not going to deal. We're not going to deal with Iran. We're not going to deal with immigration. We're not going to deal with anything else. We're just going to talk about the economy. And while we do that, we're not going to have people going out and yelling at each other and creating discord. We're going to tone down the rhetoric for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. We could live with it that long and create an environment where we could have discussion.
Don't you think, and I realize that it's very hard to do this with any strong ideological belief, But don't you think there have been attempts on both sides to do that in some way, shape, or form?
No, I don't think I don't think there have been attempts to do that. I think that people might say that they're doing that, but take those two components.
I don't understand how you, if you say, okay, look, we shouldn't do anything right now. We're going to shut down the government until we talk about.
No. I'm not shutting. I'm saying
no,
we're
no,
going
no,
to.
But okay. But let's use it as an example. We're going to shut down the government so we can discuss this about health care. Now, I'm not saying what they did. Let's even say that was a strategic, that was strategy to get both sides to sit down and talk.
And I don't think it was particularly effective strategy. And that's why I'm suggesting. I'm sorry. I don't think that was meant to get people to sit down and talk. I don't think either side was ready to have an actual discussion.
But okay, I agree.
I don't think either side wanted to have an actual discussion.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But how do we get to that point?
First, you need, and I'm not taking shots, first, it starts at the top, okay? So you need a leader to do two things, what leaders do. First is they set an agenda, and second is they create an environment. And that's not just a president, that's anybody. It's a station manager, it's anybody. It's the
leader of the Congress, it's the leader of the Senate,
It's all of them, but it starts with the president.
I agree.
Okay.
However, there is a political ideology that is coming from one side. There is a political ideology coming from the other side. In fact, in the Republican case, there's actually competing ideologies.
Right. And you're already this is before you even get to ideology. This is, and I keep using the term creating an environment.
By the way, I want the end result that you want. I want peace in the world. I want us all to be happy. I want somebody to understand.
I'm not going that far. All I'm saying is...
Oh, you're still being the cynical.
No,
okay.
No, because, you know, it's funny, but by saying that...
You want something fixed.
I want one thing. I'm going to start with, I want one thing addressed. Okay?
Okay.
All right?
Addressed. So the goal is...
All the leader can do, okay, at this point, is get it addressed in a meaningful, intellectual way. Okay? That's all they can do. And
right.
it's agnostic to, at this point, it's agnostic to how we come out on it, because we don't even have the process to get us there. And the only example I can give you is, my daughter takes 12th grade honors math. Okay? I have no idea. I look at her book and it's Greek. Okay? And so she'll have a test or something like that. I can't help her. I remember Sakatoa a little bit. Remember that?
Yeah.
But what I can do is I can say, hey, look, if I walk into her room and it's 11:30 at night and she's got her math book open and she's looking at Facebook and she's on her phone and she's got a bag of potato chips next to her, I haven't done my job of creating an environment, right? If instead I talk to her and I say, when's your next test? Oh, Thursday? Today's Tuesday. Let's do this. Let's, have dinner. Let's do our homework at, 7 o'clock. Let's everybody turn off everything. Do some of your work. If you want to take a break, do that. I have helped her. I haven't done a darn thing as far as math, but I've created the environment. And then, of course, the next day, when she gets 100 on that test, she'll say, yeah, I did it all by myself. Daddy couldn't help me at all. But that's what the responsible adult does. So if you're the president, President Donahue, you would say, look, I'm not saying everything else is unimportant. Okay. Iran's important. Immigration's important. Every one of these is life and death issues to somebody. But the economy is the issue that is the most important to the greatest amount of people. So let's devote our energies to talking about that. And I'm not going to make speeches about immigration, and I'm not going to make speeches about this. It doesn't mean that stuff isn't getting done. I'm not going to make speeches. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to say, let's work on the economy. And I'm not going to go out somewhere and make some rabble rousing or, some firebrand type speech. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. You folks can do what you need to do. All right. But that's the tone I'm going to set. Yeah. I'd like us to talk about the economy, and I'd like us to maybe stop taking whacks at each other. And I think I don't know that anybody on either side has done that.
I agree, and I think it's a good approach. However, don't you think, in your heart of hearts, don't you think if you were going to do that, you're going to say, well, look, there's other things that have to be, you have your head buried in the sand, you're not addressing the other issues, where is the president on this, where is the leadership here? And what I'm saying is, I don't disagree with you, but I do think we have an especially toxic environment where whatever is done by one side is attacked and whatever is done by the other side is attacked. And meanwhile, you're so busy attacking each other that nothing gets done and the people just get screwed and quite frankly get quite disgruntled and upset.
Right. And we agree. And so how do you break that cycle?
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me. And here's my thought on this. When it comes to the president, let's just bring it directly to him. When the one thing that I give him credit for, I'm not saying that there haven't been issues, but the one thing I've given him credit for is that, and we've seen in past leadership situations, this not being the case, is that he has taken responsibility and said, I am sorry. These are things that I believe gone wrong.
I'm sorry. Let me pick my jaw up off the floor. See, and this is exactly the kind of partisan discussion I don't want to get into.
Okay.
I can't name, I can't name a single time when he, for example, has taken responsibility before it was forced upon him in such a way that there was no other thing.
I wouldn't argue that fact, but I still think there was responsibility taken.
Okay, then maybe we are saying the same thing.
But there certainly have been cases in our history, again, avoiding the partisan conversation, but there certainly been times in our history where there have been mistakes made where there was no responsibility taken, no matter how many shots have been
all
taken.
All right, but that's consistent with the strategy that you and I are talking about. Stand up and say, look, you know what? Maybe it's my fault. You want to say it's my fault that we are where we are? That's fine. It's my fault. Okay? Now let's talk.
So,
and that, by the way, is how any corporate manager, any corporate CEO, even a lower level manager would handle it.
I don't. This is going to come off as smart alecky, and I don't mean it.
No.
I don't mean it to be. But you have been saying about the economy, and the examples that we've been giving have been specifically about healthcare. Do you see those two issues as linked?
I think they're linked somewhat in that, first of all, healthcare is a large portion of the economy, but we've seen the approach that hasn't worked as well.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that we would be well served to look at that approach and say, you know, what's an approach that works better? Okay, and this, by the way, is not a partisan issue. I'm sure, you know, I could name a thousand, you know, Republican, not a thousand, but I could name a ton of Republican presidents as well who have done the same, you know, made the same mistake.
One of the things, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
One of the things that I felt that in there was concern by both Republican and Democrats about the problems within the rollout of healthcare and about the tying to the economy and what the strategies were. There have been some. There have been some very strong Republican voices, and there have been some very strong Democratic voices who agree. And I saw that as a good sign. It seems to me, however, that they have been sidelined. Why you get up and you speak out and you say, okay, we need this leadership. We need exactly what you're talking about. We need to have to just calm down and to discuss these things and to huddle and to work together.
Right.
And those people are like, oh, you know what? Why don't you just go home?
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Just go back. You're muddying the waters.
Yeah.
So, on one hand, I find the action by those individuals, Democrats, Republicans, admirable, and yet it doesn't seem to be embraced by the greater powers that be.
Well, and I think all of those individuals that you would of those individuals that you're thinking of, and you and I would probably name the same people. Very few of them are either the president, the speaker of the House, or the head of the Senate.
Well, right. No.
Yeah, right.
No.
So
I mean, and in some cases they're prominent and they have leadership roles, but not enough to do anything in this case.
You need the person who's in whose title, you know, is the C-level person, you know, in my world, right? The CFO, the CEO. You need that person. If that person doesn't buy into what you're saying, then even rational voices below them are going to get drowned out. Absolutely. And you know, it takes a certain amount of courage and focus to be able to look at somebody in the face and somebody says, you know, forget even the talk about, you know, where we're going to go on the economy. When you have to tell somebody, you know what, I'm sorry, we're not going to talk about immigration right now. I understand that's a life and death issue for lots of people. We need to talk about the economy first. I have decided I think that's the most important thing. I think it affects the most amount of people. It affects people who are trying to become citizens. It affects everybody. It affects the largest amount of people in the most material way. I'm not saying that's the first thing. Second part of that is, it's kind of like being with your family on Thanksgiving in a timely way. You say, look, in some families, we know that we can't get along for that long. We can't talk for that long without breaking into a fight. Okay,
right.
So let's just try and keep it. Let's try and reduce our amount of.
You stay in the living room.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly.
stay in the kitchen. We'll go to the
right.
dining room table at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll have dinner.
We'll eat. You know,
and then we'll go into our separate corners.
And so I think you'd be, if you know you have a lot of people who don't get along, why would you say let's have all these points where we could yell at each other more? Let's reduce those.
And there's a question of civility. There's a question of
a lot of things
of leadership, of course,
and frustration. Frustration, everybody. Frustration. Yeah.
And one seems to feed the other, because you're still smarting over one thing, and so you're not going to give in on the other.
It's very hard to turn the other cheek. You know, it really is. You know, and it's much easier in a corporation. You know, because
so you block my nominees. And then
yeah.
I say, okay, well, I'm going to use the nuclear option against
right.
you. And you say, okay, well, then I'm going to do this to
exactly.
you. And then it just becomes an ugly cycle.
And somebody has got to be the parent. We've been in this situation,
yeah.
right? You know, I don't care who started it. Stop it.
I'm going to turn
this car right around. Somebody's got to be that person.
And I don't know. Do we even have a system where you have that person anymore?
Yeah, you do. The president's still a pretty powerful figure, right? Look, Joe, let me just ask you this. If the president one day said, and I'll pick on this, he's happy.
I'm just wondering. I agree with what you're saying. And right. We only have about a minute, but okay. I agree with what you're saying. My question to you is, it just seems what you have described is easier said than done.
No, I think it's very easy. I think it's easily done. It's really easily done because you're not, all you're doing is you're actually.
Did you say you're going to do this, you're going to take this approach, and then all of a sudden everybody's going to fall into line.
No, it's not going to be all of a sudden. It's going to take some time. It's not going to be all of a sudden. But today, instead of going to my typical three community colleges and telling everybody, for example, how bad the Republicans are, and on the Republican side, instead of, you know, getting on, you know, Fox News and telling everybody how bad the Democrats are, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to talk about, there's some really important issues for the economy. I respect the other side. I hope we can get together. I actually think that would
lead
to something.
Isn't that why we have Camp David? Bring everybody up there, play some pool, deal this, work this out.
And I bet they couldn't get them in a room to do that right now.
No, I know. Absolutely. Rich Honan is a partner in Phillips Lytle LLP, where he's a partner in charge of the Albany office. Rich, it's always a pleasure to have you here. You're a delight, and have a wonderful holiday and a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. Have a good holiday.
I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. You want me to go right into the outro? Okay. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.